Sasha kept her eyes on Giovanni's face as he slowly pulled her club uniform off and tossed it aside. He kissed her, slowly, so hot, perfect, taking her breath and her heart at the same time. His hands moved over her body, gentle, tender even. All the while she could feel possession in his touch. He helped her into the large tub and then inspected her shoulder carefully. He pressed a warm cloth over the spot that was throbbing. I added some salts into the water. They should help. Scoot down until your shoulder is under water. I'll put a pillow behind your head. She did so, and then he joined her, pulling her feet into his lap. I've got to wash that man's touch off your skin. It really bothered you, didn't it? I don't want anyone touching you. Family hugs. There will be kissing on the cheek, but no one else. I don't share what's mine. He looked around the room. All this, Sasha. It doesn't mean anything without you. Nothing I have in my life means anything without you. I live hard. The things I have to do are sometimes very difficult. I do them because it's my duty. But I've never had what I needed to make it all worthwhile until I found you. She heard the sincerity in every word. No one had ever made her feel so wanted or needed. I'm not going anywhere. I worry you will. I practically railroaded you. She laughed. She couldn't help it. Honey, I'm not someone who can be railroaded. I'm here with you because I want to be with you. I'll always choose you. I had one moment of freaking out, and after I realized it wasn't about you at all, or even your world, although no sane person wants to be in your world, I knew I wanted to be with you. I was losing my mind over things I had no control over, like someone trying to kill us. It was convenient to think it was about you or how you live, but it wasn't. I'm ashamed I even had that moment. She knew he would dismiss it, and he did, with a single wave of his hand, and the best foot massage of her life. After, he made love to her. So tenderly he stole her soul along with her heart. He woke her in the middle of the night and delivered her punishment, which just so happened to be the hottest thing she'd ever experienced. And their erotic tango turned so wild, she was certain it might take weeks to recover. It was morning when she woke him for his punishment. Chapter 20. I tried to get bail posted for Aaron, Tom Marilyn said. I don't know why I couldn't make it happen. I tried three bondsmen. All said the same thing. They couldn't get him out until Monday. There's no way we can take out all the Ferraros at this wedding and get away with it. We can get away with it, James Corledge said. We just can't blame it on Aaron. He paced across the room, his hand beating a little tattoo rhythm on his thigh. Fucking bitch lied to me. Said her engagement to that moron wasn't real, and all the time she planned a wedding behind my back. I hate them. I hate her most of all. Tom gave a snort of laughter. You sound like the bitch belonged to you. She would have, if Giovanni Moneybags Ferraro hadn't enticed her away. Women are so easily led by their tits, straight to the money. Dangle cash and they'll spread their legs and do whatever a man wants. James turned and smashed his fist into the wall. At least Aaron's going down for the fire and the stalking. Getting Marita to screw the bastard and get his condom out of the trash for us was a stroke of genius. There is no way Aaron can explain how his sperm was all over Sasha's underwear when they find it's his DNA. He began pacing again. There has to be a way, Tom. All the Ferraros together. Sasha, her brother, we could take them out with an explosion. Something going wrong with their heating system. He tapped his thigh over and over. I hate them all. They walk around thinking they're all so superior to the rest of us. Tom shrugged. A good fire after the explosion. I like fire. It's beautiful and deadly, greedy for anything in its path. I like watching it eat people alive. James turned and faced the other man. You're so good at using fire. Maybe you're right. I should listen to you, Tom, he flattered the man. How would we do that? Start a fire in a place that big so they couldn't get out? Deliberately, he pulled out a chair and sank into it, leaning toward the other fighter as if eager to learn from him. Tom preened, just as James knew he would. Tom would have to die, of course. He knew too much. But he would have one last use. If he could be the instrument of death to the Ferraros, it would be James's finest coup. His revenge on the fucking rich. He'd been getting rid of his enemies since he was 15 when he'd killed his rival, leaving his body in a manhole. It hadn't been discovered for months. He'd relived that first kill over and over. Over the years, he'd been very careful to make certain others were blamed for a death, or he made it look as if it was an accident. He'd made the mistake of beating the hell out of his first wife instead of letting her go, watching her and then killing her later when no one would suspect him. She'd taken money from his wallet with the intention of leaving him. He didn't put up with that shit. If she wanted his money, she had ways of earning it. He gave her lots of opportunities. She was just lazy. Tom droned on, and he tuned him out, thinking of his second wife. She had been a fun one, willing to do anything he wanted, so eager to please him. He'd loved that about her. Then he'd lost a major fight, and she'd had the balls to tell him he drank too much the night before. He'd beat the fuck out of her. She'd left him, and he actually missed her. If he could have, he would have found a way to get her back, but she wouldn't even take his calls. His last girlfriend had been a joke. He beat the shit out of her on a regular basis, but she liked it. She wanted him beating her, so that wasn't any fun. Then, when he split up with her, she wanted to press charges against him. He visited her in the middle of the night and let her know he could have cut her throat and would if she didn't drop the charges. Poof. No charges. He'd watched Sasha for some time when she was first hired and working the main floor. She was really beautiful and had the kind of figure he preferred. He decided she would be wife three. He'd made the mistake of telling Aaron. Aaron bet him that she would fall for him because he was the better fighter. Aaron brought Tom in on the bet to make things interesting. That was what he always said. He liked to make things interesting. James wanted to kill the fuck, but that wasn't good enough. He wouldn't suffer enough. And now Sasha, marrying Giovanni Ferraro, needed to suffer too. They all did. Every damned one of them. He'd liked his little game, though. It was fun. If he could have, he would have fucked with them a lot more. He thought of them as puppets dancing on his strings. He sighed. The fun had to end sometime, and if he could pull this off, killing every Ferraro, Sasha and her brain-dead brother, all in one final blow, it would be such a thing of beauty. He leaned back in his chair. Tom had seated himself across the table from him, drawing something on a piece of paper. Tom sat up straight, still talking, but something shimmered in the shadows behind him, distracting James from hearing him. His eyes were deceiving him. Tom's head was in the shadows, and for a moment a man seemed to step out of the shadows to stand behind him. He wore a pinstripe suit, just like the Ferraro brothers. This one was beautiful. James liked nice clothes. The suit was dark charcoal with the thinnest stripes. The shirt beneath the vest and jacket was lighter charcoal. The tie was a dark charcoal to match the suit. The man caught Tom's head in his hands. At the same time, James felt hands on his head. The man in the shadows snapped Tom's neck and murmured, "Justice is served." Then James's world went black. Sasha came to Giovanni on the arm of Stefano. Sandlin couldn't walk her down the aisle, but he was there, standing between Vittorio and Taviano. She couldn't help shooting him a quick glance as she walked past him to her man. Sandlin beamed at her, clearly happy, and that brought her own happiness up a notch. She noticed the cousins from New York there, all three brothers, handsome in their pinstripe suits. Their suits were dark charcoal, with thin, lighter charcoal stripes, while Giovanni and his brothers wore gray with black stripes. All of them looked so handsome. Giovanni took her breath away, just that look on his face. Stefano placed her hand in his brother's and leaned in to brush a kiss on her cheek before taking his place beside Francesca. "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen," Giovanni whispered. "Thank you for being mine." She couldn't speak. Afraid she'd cry and ruin the makeup Emanuele had spent hours on, Emanuele had worked hard to pull the wedding off. Of course, money talked, and she'd gotten the planner she'd wanted. Strangely, Eloisa worked with her, putting together the reception for those at the Hendricks Center, as well as the town reception. That was the bigger reception, the one at the hotel where the people the Ferraros had known most of their lives would be guests. She heard the preacher speaking, and then Giovanni was looking into her eyes, and she found herself falling like she did when he looked at her like that. She answered in the affirmative when he asked her, just as Giovanni had. His voice had been firm. Hers trembled. She still meant every word, as if the vow was sealed into blood and bone. She would be his. He would be hers. She truly felt as if they'd been born for each other. Then Giovanni was kissing her, and everyone receded. There was only him. That mouth of his could always command her, always make her laugh. She was lost there with him, until Stefano started the clapping that pulled them back from the edge of that cliff they always seemed to fall over. Giovanni danced for the third time with his wife. They didn't have too much more time before they would have to leave, but she was having so much fun, and he liked watching her have fun. He kept his eye on her brother. Sandlin moved through the crowd a few times, and then he retreated, going to his new favorite spot. His favorite couch had been moved into the larger common room and put in a quiet corner where there was still plenty of light for him to read. He was on the couch now, but he was smiling sweetly like he did, a genuine Sandlin smile. And it was Eloisa beside him. Her body was turned toward Sandlin, her posture and position indicating she was open to him and enjoying the conversation, which made no sense to Giovanni. His mother abhorred weakness. She had always been hard on Ettore because he'd been born with weaker lungs and had respiratory problems. No amount of her driving him could cure his problem. She'd acted as if she despised him from the time he was born, yet here she sat next to Sandlin, acting like what might be considered actually human. On the one hand, he was grateful, but on the other, he found himself angry with her that she couldn't have treated her own son with as much compassion. Henry, the man who oversaw their fleet of vehicles, was dressed in a suit and seated beside Eloisa. His body posture screamed protective. All three were eating small slices of wedding cake and drinking punch. Giovanni had never seen his mother drink punch. She preferred very fine wine or champagne. "We're going to have to leave, Sasha," Giovanni said, reluctantly. "Emanuele has been signaling frantically for the last 10 minutes. It's one thing to be fashionably late to our wedding reception. It's something altogether different not to show up at all." "This is our wedding reception," she pointed out. Sasha was gorgeous in her wedding gown. It was Emanuele who had found the perfect dress for her. The silk slip was a nude fitted silhouette that clung to every curve. Over the slip was the designer's contrasting translucent signature elements. Scattered into the embroidery were sequins that shimmered when she walked or moved. The sequins glimmered down the long sleeves and around the neck and tracked down the dress and across the trailing fishtail hem. It was breathtaking. The designer was one of Emanuele's favorites. He knew, because Emanuele had told him, that once he was alone with Sasha, he had only to undo a couple of hooks, and the silk slip would fall around her ankles, leaving her in the translucent, embroidered outer layer. Giovanni couldn't help thinking about that as she'd walked down the aisle toward him, and as he'd whirled her around the dance floor. It kept him in a constant state of arousal, which he wasn't certain he would survive until they got home. He glanced over to Nicoletta. Taviano had leaned down and was whispering to her. She shook her head. A look of impatience crossed his face. He took her hand and pulled her up, gathering her to him for a dance. The two moved across the dance floor in perfect rhythm. But Nicoletta was holding herself, or trying to hold herself, away from his brother. Giovanni led Sasha to the small couch, where Sandlin sat with Eloisa and Henry. "We're going to have to go. We promised Goodman we wouldn't be here more than 3 hours total. He felt it would be too disruptive to the patients." "He's getting paid far more than he should have," Eloisa snapped. "He can wait." "No, Eloisa, he really can't," Giovanni said, exasperated. "He did us a favor, and the crews still have to clean up. That's more time disrupting the patients. You can see that Sandlin is tired." Eloisa smiled at Sandlin. "I suppose you need to rest now, don't you?" He nodded. "It was nice to meet you." "I enjoyed meeting you as well." She stood up, hands on her hips, glaring at her son. "You neglected to tell me that Sasha was capable of producing riders. I noticed her brother's shadow and made certain my shadow connected with his. I was shocked at the strength there, and even more shocked when he recognized my shadow. She comes from a very strong family. Have you looked into her background?" "Eloisa, Sasha is standing right here. At any time, you could have asked her." "Of course, I know her background. I asked her, and she told me. Had you waited to be introduced that morning at Stefano's, I'm certain you would have seen her shadow at some point." She ignored that. "I suppose she must be pregnant. All the gossip columns are speculating. Public relations reps have been asking repeatedly for an answer. I do wish you could have waited, Giovanni, and been just a little more responsible." "Oh, for heaven's sake!" Sasha snapped and whirled away. "I've had enough. Are we going or what?" Ignoring Eloisa and Giovanni, she reached for her brother's hands. "Sandlin, thank you for coming to my wedding. I'll be back in a few days. Giovanni and I are going on a honeymoon. When I get back, I'll show you pictures and tell you all about it." Sandlin nodded. "I'd like that. And you can read to me." "Of course, I'll read to you. I always do, don't I?" She kissed first one cheek and then the other. Sandlin nodded again. "Yes, you do. Emanuele said she would come to read to you when I'm gone. You remember Emanuele, right?" She pointed out her sister-in-law, whirling around on the floor with a man she didn't recognize. "Is she good at it, like you?" Sandlin hadn't even looked toward the dance floor. "Yes, very good," Sasha assured her brother. "Okay, then. You can go with Giovanni." He sounded as if he was giving her a great concession. Sasha laughed, kissed him again, and took her husband's hand. "Why don't you like him?" Signora Moretti asked Nicoletta, as Taviano walked past the table where they sat with Lucia and Amo. "Like who?" Nicoletta asked, frowning. "Oh, stop that girl," Agnese Moretti scolded. "You're not very good at covering your expressions. I've been working with you for a long time now, and I can tell when you don't like someone. The Ferraros are paying for your education. They make it clear that you're under their protection, and they're giving you lessons in self-defense, which I don't agree a young girl should be doing. Not until you're older. Instead of appreciating them, you make it clear you don't want anything to do with the family." "That's not true, Signora Moretti," Nicoletta denied. "Of course it is," Agnese persisted. "My understanding is that Stefano served with your father, and when your parents were killed, he brought you here. Isn't that true? Did the family do something to offend you? Take you from another relative you preferred?" A small shudder went through Nicoletta's body, and she stood abruptly, as if the fight-or-flight response had kicked in. At once, the members of the Ferraro family turned their heads. It was Vittorio who got there first. He held out his hand to the girl. "Dance with me." There was pure command in his voice, but his touch was gentle as he pulled her into his body and swung them onto the dance floor. He was quiet for a few moments, holding her close as if absorbing whatever it was that had upset her. When she quieted, he allowed space between them. "Is she prying, upsetting you?" You have only to ask, and we'll find you another tutor." Nicoletta moistened her bottom lip with her tongue.
"No. Signora Moretti has been really good to me. She takes getting used to. But she really brought my studies up and helped me finish the grades I needed fast in order to graduate. She makes every subject easy to understand. I'm going to graduate in another week or so."
She paused. "I like the training in the gym your family has given me. I hope to continue that." "You will have more time once you finish school," Vittorio pointed out.
"Yes. I told Lucia and Amo I would stay, but I want to pay them rent. I'm working at the restaurant now, and once I'm full-time, I'll be able to pay them."
"Nicoletta, you know Stefano pays for your rent and clothes. If we could have taken you in ourselves, we would have. But Lucia and Amo were far better equipped. Still, you're part of our family."
She shook her head and almost pulled out of his arms. He just tightened his hold and locked his arm like a bar across her back.
"Settle down. Don't you think it's time you got over the fact that we know about your past? You're punishing our family because we got you out of a horrendous situation."
"Is that what you call it? A horrendous situation?"
There was a cross between a sneer and a sob in her voice.
"I call it something else. Maybe you've never lived in hell, Vittorio. Maybe you've never had to hide from others how ashamed you are. How dirty."
His hand caught her chin and yanked her head up so her eyes were forced to meet his. "Don't you ever let me hear you call yourself that. Never. It is so far from the truth. I want to put you over my knee and paddle that right out of you. Don't let something like that into your brain. They did that, not you. You're bright and beautiful, and so far above them they wanted to break you. They wanted to bring you down into the muck with them. They can't take that you shine. And you do. You are not dirty. That is not you, Nicoletta."
She stared into his eyes for a long time, and then she swallowed, nodded.
The music ended, and instead of Vittorio taking her back to the table where Signora Moretti watched over her with Lucia and Amo, he took her over to Stefano. Stefano immediately whirled her into his arms. Stefano intimidated her. There was no other word for it. She realized, now that she was 18, the Ferraro family wasn't going to back off. They were determined that she stay in their territory, where they could look out for her. Giovanni lifted his hand as he guided Sasha around them. "Save me a dance, Nicoletta." Sasha smiled at the girl.
"She's really beautiful, Giovanni."
"She is. She doesn't realize it. She's hell on wheels in the training hall. You should see that girl move. She's fast. She doesn't realize that either, because Emanuele and Mariko, the two working with her right now, have trained all of their lives. But all of us are astounded. Her reflexes are incredible."
"Why aren't any of you men training her?"
His woman sounded a little snippy, as if she was going to take him to task because, at the moment, they were leaving Nicoletta's self-defense training to the females. "She's very leery around us, sweetheart. We'll be training her eventually. But right now, she's more apt to show up if she's working with Emme or Mariko. We have to put our hands on her, and she's not ready for that. In any case, Mariko has developed a very good relationship with her, and we want to encourage that. You can see she's very intimidated by us. She doesn't like us touching her, or even standing too close."
"She likes him."
Giovanni's head came up sharply.
"Likes who?"
Because that who was going to have his head removed if he was making a move on Nicoletta.
"Taviano! Sheesh, Giovanni, you're kind of a hothead."
He threw back his head and laughed.
"Baby, you're just beginning to notice.
Why aren't you intimidated?"
"Because I'm better with a rope than you are. I think I proved that the other night."
He rested his lips against her ear. His tongue did a brief foray, and he felt the answering shiver of her body.
"Dio, but I love you," he whispered.
Benito Petrov danced past them with Angelina Laconi in his arms. Petrov owned the pizzeria with his son Tito, a widower. No one thought he would ever date again, but it looked to Giovanni as if he was very comfortable with Angelina, although she was several years younger.
You aren't even going to protest the rope thing?
Because it's too absurd to bother protesting. You just brought it up because Mariko told you about that rope thing Riko does with her that totally turns her on.
She pulled back and scowled up at him.
What rope thing?
Mariko told you about a rope thing your brother does?
Mariko would never talk to me. I thought she talked to you.
He pretended to give it some thought.
Where did I hear about that technique?
She burst out laughing, just as he knew she would. He loved that sound. He knew he wanted to hear it for the rest of his life.
You made that up.
I did, he admitted, and then put his mouth over her ear again.
But you're thinking about it, and your panties are damp for me, aren't they?
Silly man. My panties are always damp for you. Haven't you figured that out yet?
He wanted to get her home. He needed to get her home.
He turned his head and stiffened. In the doorway of the hotel ballroom, Valentino Saldi stood framed. He wore a suit, and his shoulders nearly touched from one side of the frame to the other. He paused there, his gaze sweeping around the dance floor and tables until he found what he was looking for. Emanuele.
Giovanni nearly stopped dancing right in the middle of the song.
He caught sight of Riko dancing with Nicoletta. They had decided to take turns, making that first declaration to her that she was part of their family. Each one would dance with her at least once, Giovanni included. She was Taviano's. He'd made that clear. No matter whether she was or wasn't, they'd brought her into the family, and it was time she accepted it.
Valentino walked across the floor, weaving in and out of the people.
Everyone liked him. He was a good man, no matter that he was a part of the Saldi organization. His family owned the meat company, and he often delivered their products himself. The Ferraros were convinced he did it in order to see Emanuele more, but he was always friendly with everyone. Still, there was an aura of danger about him, and everyone knew he was a Saldi.
His cousin and bodyguard, Dario, paced behind him, also in a suit.
For just one moment, his gaze shifted to follow Nicoletta around the dance floor, and then he was all business, and Giovanni wasn't certain he actually saw that momentary breach. Emanuele stood to one side of the room, talking with Signora Vitale. His sister turned her head slowly, just before Valentino reached her side. He held out his hand to her.
Giovanni willed his sister to walk away.
She didn't. She just stood very still, frozen like a statue. Valentino was the one to step forward. He pulled Emanuele into his arms and brushed a kiss onto her forehead. She jerked her head away, said something to him. Giovanni knew that look. She was angry, hurt, more hurt than angry.
"Baby," he said softly,
"I have to help Emme."
"Of course."
They hurried over to the couple. He'd been dancing them closer and closer, so it wasn't far.
"Emanuele, you promised me this dance."
Giovanni took her right out of Valentino's arms and turned his sister into his chest so she could hide her face. Emanuele went with him as he guided her across the room. He just held her, feeling the tremors running through her. He didn't talk. There wasn't anything to say, and he wasn't going to put her on the spot. No one could pry anything out of her if she didn't want to share, and so far she hadn't said a word to any of them about Valentino or why she was so upset with him. Valentino immediately held out his arms to the bride. He expected her to turn him down, but she smiled at him and let him take her out among the whirling couples. He kept his eye on Emanuele, making certain to stay close enough that when the music ended he would be able to claim her again.
"You're very brave to come here when you hurt that girl," Sasha said.
"Her brothers would very much like to teach you a few hard lessons." He was a little shocked that she spoke to him at all.
"I'm sorry. I read the papers, so I know your name is Sasha, but
we haven't been formally introduced. I'm Valentino Saldi. My friends called me Val. I had to crash your wedding reception, which I'm very aware is terrible manners. And I'm also aware her brothers would like to throw me into the nearest river and drown me. Dario, my bodyguard, knows it too. She won't take my calls."
"Emanuele isn't nearly as tough as everyone thinks she is," Sasha said.
nor has she had the easiest time. I don't know why you keep pursuing her when you make her so miserable. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't? Why does any man pursue a woman?
Sasha recalled the conversation at the Ferraro table, half said in jest.
Sex?
For any man, Valentino agreed. But to risk one's life, it has to be more than sex. She agreed with that assessment. That's the general consensus. But some men do like the adrenaline rush, and what a feat it would be to defeat your rivals by going after their sister.
I wasn't aware we were rivals.
Sasha shrugged. She felt very protective over Emanuele. How many times have you broken up with Emma and then gone after her again?
Emanuele does the breaking up. I have never sent her home. She goes back again and again. I'm unsure why. When I ask her, she just cries and leaves me. I tried to live without her. I've tried dating other women. God help me. I even tried fucking another woman. That was a disaster in more ways than one.
He sighed, his eyes on the woman in Giovanni's arms.
I do know that if she does what she says she's going to do, there's going to be bloodshed, and she needs to know that up front.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't dare hurt her.
Valentino stopped on the dance floor, looking down into her face. For the first time, a shiver went down her spine, and she was a little afraid of him.
I would kill any man who threatened her or touched her. Never her. Never Emanuele.
Thankfully, the music ended, and Valentino took her hand and gave her back to Giovanni. When Emanuele tried to turn away, he caught her wrist.
You're dancing with me, Emma.
Sasha saw Emanuele take a deep breath, and then she turned back to him.
There isn't anything to say. I don't want to keep doing this.
You have to hear me out.
She shook her head.
I saw you, Val. With my own eyes, I saw you.
Tears filled her eyes, and she looked to Giovanni.
I need you to get me out of here.
There it was. His sister never asked for help, and she was asking.
Giovanni gently took her hand out of Val's.
Excuse me, Sasha. I'll be right back.
He strode away, his arm around Emanuele. He took her out of the ballroom. Sasha followed Valentino and Dario at a distance, because they were trailing after Giovanni and Emanuele. Giovanni went straight to Stefano's private elevator, put in the code, and kissed the top of his sister's head. He stood there like a silent sentinel until the doors closed, and then he turned toward Valentino.
"You're a good man, Val," he said. "But she means it. No is no in my world."
Sasha knew it really wasn't. No, to the Ferraros, meant try harder. She wasn't certain that Giovanni really understood that they had a double standard.
Valentino shook his head. She's hurt, Giovanni. You know she loves me. You know she belongs with me.
The sad truth is, Giovanni said, she can't ever be with you. I don't know what happened, but you're going to have to respect her refusal. This isn't like the 10 times before. This time she's adamant. I've never seen her refuse to dance with you, nor has she ever asked for our help in dealing with you. Not ever. Leave her alone, Val, and let her heal.
He held out his arm, and Sasha moved quickly under his shoulder, her arm around his waist.
The two of them faced the bodyguard and Valentino, who shook his head and turned to walk away.
Val! Giovanni called. He turned back.
I'm really sorry.
Val nodded and walked toward the front of the hotel.
You really do like him? I thought there was some feud, and you were all ready to do him in for some reason other than Emanuele.
She rubbed his chest over his heart, because she felt his hurt for the other man.
The feud between our families goes way back, well over 100 years. The Saldis are a crime family. That's the bottom line.
Valentino stands to inherit it all. He's the prince in that family. He was born into it, and brought up in it. Emanuele can't go there. She's expected to carry out her duty. She has to have children, riders.
She can't be happy? Your family wants to turn her into Eloisa?
Why would you think Eloisa wasn't happy in her marriage?
She rolled her eyes. Anyone can see she wasn't happy. She didn't want children. Her family forced her to be someone she wasn't. That's what is going to happen to Emanuele. Giovanni stood there for a long time, staring at the elevator, his arms around her, tight. That's true. But I didn't realize others could see it so easily in Eloisa. I'm going to talk to Stefano and the others about this. I've never thought of it this way. Never. She isn't going to be another Eloisa. Having said that, Sasha backpedaled a bit. Valentino really hurt her. Whatever he did, she isn't going to forgive. Giovanni let out his breath. Believe me, baby, that's a good thing. Our family would never accept him, and his would never accept her. He nuzzled the top of her head. Let's go home. I thought we'd never get home tonight. At last, Giovanni carried Sasha over the threshold. He kept the age-old tradition to ward off bad luck. They'd had enough of that, and he wasn't taking chances. He set her in the large chair in the great room, turned on the fireplace with the remote, added music, and closed all the drapes. Sasha started to remove her shoes. "Don't, Sasha. Not yet." He removed his jacket and loosened his tie as she slowly straightened. "I want another dance with you, baby. Are you too tired?" She shook her head and stood up. "It was a beautiful day, and I don't want it to be over. I did drink a little too much champagne, though." "That's good. I wouldn't mind a little drunken sex with you." He pulled her close and reached behind her to find the little hooks, holding the nude-colored slip under the beautiful transparent layer of sequined embroidery. The silk slithered down her body, leaving her in only a pair of nude lace panties that were little more than a strip. Sasha laughed and stepped out of the slip. "Did you know about that little trick the entire time?" "Of course." He pulled her into his arms and began to guide her in a series of intricate steps that kept her hips pressed tightly against his. He loved the way her body felt against his. Through the transparent material, her skin felt like silk, sliding over him. His cock grew hard, hungry. He slid his hands down the curve of her spine, found that indentation where her back met the rounded curves of her buttocks. His hands moved lower, found her cheeks, firm, soft. He kneaded, massaged. He loved that she savored his touch. She threw her head back, pressing her breasts into him. Her nipples pierced the delicate fabric, rubbing along his shirt. He wanted to feel them against his skin. "Take my shirt off." He stopped right in the middle of the room. Firelight played over her body, over her skin, so that she glowed. She reached up immediately and began to slip each button out of its hole. She undid the cufflinks, and he slipped them into his pocket. After opening the cuffs, she dropped her hand and rubbed over his hard length. Then she pushed the shirt from his shoulders. Giovanni slipped out of it. "Now my shoes." She crouched low, without hesitation, and undid the laces so he could step out of the shoes. One hand resting on her shoulder, he lifted his foot so she could take off his sock. He did the same with the other side, but was very careful of the spot where her shoulder might still be sore. He reached for her, helping her to her feet. "I love how you look right now," he said, as she unzipped his trousers. "Our wedding night, dressed just for your husband." "I have a few more surprises," she confessed. "I actually went shopping." Her blush intrigued him. She liked sex. She was adventurous. He couldn't imagine what she'd purchased that had her blushing. His cock jerked hard as she pulled his clothes down his legs so he could step out of them. He caught her hand and tugged until she was on the other side of the long couch. Very slowly, he pulled up the long, translucent sheath that covered her body. When she stood only in her high heels, garters, and stockings, with that tiny strip of lace for panties, he stepped back to look at her. "Do you have any idea how much time I spend thinking about ways to take you?"
He turned his finger in a circle, indicating for her to turn around. She did so. His heart clenched. His cock throbbed and pushed harder against his stomach. Even his balls reacted, feeling tight and hot. He loved the way that little strip of cloth disappeared between her two cheeks. It had to go, but it was hot. He caught at it and jerked, knowing the action forced the strip to rub against her clit. She caught the back of the couch with both hands and gripped hard, a little cry of pleasure escaping. Giovanni couldn't wait another minute. He shoved with his foot until her feet were wide apart. Catching the nape of her neck, he pushed her head down so she was bent over the back of the couch. He waited, holding her there, admiring the way she looked. "I don't want you to move, baby. Stay just like that for me." A little groan escaped. "You want to play?" "I always want to play." He rubbed her cheek, and then his hand went lower, found hot liquid, his. He tasted her, savored her, devoured her, spent time painting his name on her with that hot liquid, all the while she pleaded and begged for him to take her. His fingers went deep, his tongue. He drew that honey out of her and striped her with it. When she made that little keening sound that drove him crazy, he took her, plunging deep, holding nothing back, taking her the way he'd always wanted to. She was his woman, his private miracle, and he was going to love her until the end of his days and beyond. She screamed out her orgasms, one after another, until he couldn't wait one more second. He flew with her, soaring, his body shaking with the strength of his release. They took some time to recover enough to step back and help her out of her shoes, garters and stockings. He left them on the great room floor and carried his bride to their bed. To his astonishment, there were a few items lying on the bed. He hadn't bought them, so he was fairly certain his woman had. He put her down right on the edge and picked up the nearest little toy. "Baby, do you have any idea what this is for?" She nodded, watching him carefully. "You ever tried this before?" She shook her head. Heat swept through him. Joy. He was so damned lucky to have found her. He carefully examined each toy. Three had remote controls. For him. He loved that idea. "My wedding presents?" She nodded, looking a little shy. "You like to play. I wanted you to know that I was willing to play with you. However you wanted to." There was a pair of handcuffs, fur-lined, but she had realized he wasn't that into bondage. Her comfort was too important to him, and he couldn't relax enough if she was in bonds. He worried that she might not tell him if she was hurting. But maybe if the cuffs were fur-lined and not tight. The rest of it, though? He looked at the toys. She was willing to play whenever and however he wanted. Dio. His cock was already rising. Apparently, just the thought of what he was going to do with those toys was working on him. He wasn't going to wait until later. "It's going to be a very long night, Sasha." Warning her seemed a good idea. "I've been thinking about this from the moment I bought everything. I'm hoping the night is long. I love you, Giovanni Ferraro." "I'm so in love with you, Sasha Ferraro." He didn't know how he got this lucky, but he was going to cherish her forever. His woman. The End. This is Jim Frangione. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Shadow Keeper by Christine Feehan. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold, including Audible.com, Audiobooks.com, Google Play, Apple iTunes, and in public libraries through RB Digital. Thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.